Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
Amen. Amen. I'm guessing this morning, somebody left some stuff on the stage, didn't they? I'm guessing this morning, if I said to you, who made this famous quote, "I have a dream," I'm guessing that most of you would say, "I think that was Martin Luther King." Well, you're absolutely right. It would be. And you've studied him in history. Well, guess what? All of us have dreams. Every single person here has a dream for your life, for your future. And I want you to know the dreams that last are the dreams that God instills inside of us. Now, this morning, I want us to take a really quick look at the life of Joseph from the Old Testament. We're going at lightning speed, so I want you to fasten your seatbelts. But before we actually dive inside of Joseph's life quickly, I want you to chew on this. Let this truth consume you. Here we go. Nothing can thwart a dream if God has given it to you. Will you repeat that with me? Here we go. Nothing can thwart a dream if God has given it to you. Many of you know already that God has placed a dream inside your heart. And part of that dream was bringing you here to CIU. But some of you, I'm guessing, are probably starting to doubt. Susie, I'm not even sure how next semester's tuition is going to get paid. I'm not sure how this dream that God has given me to work overseas or to be a banker or to be a football coach or to do this or to do that, a recording artist for Jesus. I'm not sure how all this dream can even happen, but I know that God gave it to me. Again, I want you to repeat it with me. Here we go. Nothing can thwart a dream if God has given it to you. Well, Joseph from the Old Testament was given a dream by God, and it was a dream that died many times before it was fulfilled. But because God had given it to him, it eventually became reality. But it took a little more than 20 years. Now, if we could interview Joseph, if we could just give him the microphone and bring him up here on stage, I think that he'd tell us God is bigger than the failures of your parents, your siblings, or an unjust verdict in a courtroom. I think someone here needs to hear that this morning, because you've been dealt a blow that hasn't been fair to you in life. Maybe some of you are from a dysfunctional family, or your parents weren't, they weren't upright with you, or you were accused of something you shouldn't have been, or you've experienced something that didn't go your way. And Joseph did too. And he would say to us, God's bigger than that. He's bigger than the failures of your parents, your siblings, or an unjust verdict in a courtroom. And then I think Joseph would go on to explain this. He would say, God uses evil for his own ends when we have the faith to see the larger picture of his will and purpose. Yes, God gave Joseph a dream. But before that dream could be fulfilled, Joseph would need to clear the stage of his life so God's dream could be foremost in the arena of his heart. Let's go to scripture and let's see the dream that God gave Joseph. Here we go. Lightning speed. Joseph had a dream. And when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. Joseph said to them, listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it. His brothers said to him, do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us? And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. Listen, he said, I had another dream, and this time the sun and moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me. When he told his father, as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you?" His brothers were jealous of him. Okay, let's notice here that Joseph's dream came in two different pictures. The first was agricultural, kind of a hint of the manner in which Joseph's authority over his brother would actually be fulfilled or achieved. And then the second dream that Joseph had was celestial. The sun and the moon and the stars bowed down to him, and his entire family would bow down to him, making him above the entire household. Well, his brothers were already jealous of Joseph, because his dad favored him above all the others in the entire house. So his dad, as you know, even gave him a special multicolored coat. Bad decision. What did that coat look like, Susie? I don't know. We can use our imagination. May have looked like that. May have looked like this. We don't really know exactly what the coat looked like. We know it was probably expensive, and it had different colors sewn and woven into the threads. But this was a dysfunctional family. And though we don't have time to go into all the background of this dysfunction, Jacob, Joseph's dad, was an incompetent father. He was a cheater. He was stubborn. He was a passive dad. He was a polygamist, and he never disciplined his children. And again, on top of all this, let me repeat, he outwardly showed great favoritism to Joseph. And doing this only fueled the fire of anger and hate inside of him. So you can imagine that sharing these dreams with his brothers isn't really a wise idea. He's just fanning the flame. I mean, it's like throwing lit matches on a grass hut. Listen to this dream I had. Okay, we already hate you. We're already jealous. Do you really think it's smart to share those kind of dreams with us? Even though Joseph was painfully aware of this huge rift between him and his brothers, God is going to use these events, even the unwise decision of Joseph sharing the dreams with his brothers, to accomplish a holy purpose. You see, God is never derailed by the foolish decisions of men. My friends, that's good news for us. In fact, if we had the ability to pipe in the hallelujah chorus, this would be the place for it. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Good, thank you, God, that you are never derailed by my foolish decisions, because I make quite a few of them. And maybe you've made a bad decision here or there. I just want you to know, God's dreams for your life aren't derailed by a bad decision that you make. A door that God opens for you can never be shut. We're told that in the book of Revelation. What he opens for you can never be shut. Now, people will try to shut it, as Joseph's brothers did, but God opens a door and he will see that you're able to go through it. So here we go. Joseph loved God. He loved God. He made some poor choices by sharing these dreams with his brothers and flaunting his coat in front of them, but he loved God. And God's purpose for him will be accomplished no matter what. So at this point in our story, God is teaching Joseph something. God is teaching Joseph that he needs to clear the stage. He can't look to people, even his family, to fulfill his dreams. You can't look to people, even your own family, to fulfill your dreams. Joseph would have to die to all the props around him. No longer could he expect help from those he loved. He and God were on their own. Can you identify with that? Maybe some of you have left a bad family situation, and you've already experienced the fact, you know what? I can't really depend on them anymore. Can't really trust my high school friends anymore. I can't really depend on this person anymore. It's really God and me. And you're learning this lesson that God is teaching you. You know what? I have a dream that I want to accomplish through you. I have a dream I want to fulfill in your life, but I need you to die to all the props around you. In other words, clear the stage, Joe. Joe, clear the stage. Let's push the fast forward button. His brothers are tending sheep in the city of Shechem. And his dad asks Joseph to go check out things. Hey, go check out your brothers, see how they're doing. And so Joseph began the 60-mile walk. Family chariot was down that day, so he had to walk it. But when he arrived, that 60 miles later, his brothers weren't there. So Joseph asked around, and a man said, "Oh, yeah, I saw them. They moved on to Dothan," which meant now Joseph has to walk an extra 12 miles. Okay, so that's 72 miles. Just how long did it take him to walk 72 miles? Well, unless you're Usain Bolt, the fastest runner in the world, the average person walks about 4 miles an hour. Walks a mile. Let's see. The average person walks 4 miles an hour. So it would take him 18 hours. And that's not thinking about stopping for rest, or for food, or for getting water or a snack. Wow, 18 hours he's walking to find his brothers. Well, his brothers see him approaching in the distance. Yeah, he's easy to notice. You know why he's easy to notice in the distance? You guessed it, he's wearing that flashy, multicolored coat. That's probably not the best decision. I mean, if you're going to walk 72 miles from home, why not wear shorts and a t-shirt and some tennis shoes and get comfy, get some Adidas, get some Nike Shocks? But no, he's wearing this colorful coat and he's hiking for 72 miles, 18 hours. Okay, so Joseph's into fashion. He's wearing his colorful coat 72 miles. His brothers are furious. They're outraged. They're indignant. They are acrimonious. They're resentful. They're incensed. Any negative adjective that you want to toss in the bucket here will work. And they begin a plot to kill their brother. First, they toss him in a well or a long pit. And then a caravan from Egypt arrives, and so they hoist him back up and they sell him to them. Now the brothers are thinking, we have put an end to the dreamers and his dreams, but no one can kill a dream if God has given it to you. Again, let me just say, some of you are probably thinking ahead. I don't know how I'm going to pay for next semester's tuition, let alone next year. Or I don't know how this plan, this dream is actually ever going to come together in my life. Remember, if God has given you the dream, no one can kill it. The plans and purposes of God are never thwarted by the sins of others, even the failures of our family members. What was God saying? Clear the stage, Joseph. Clear the stage. Die to your family. God asks the same of you. Die to your family. Let's look at what God says, Matthew 10, 37. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. So Joseph is learning that he could never depend on any human being to help him see God's dream come to pass. No human being can be depended on to make God's dream for you come to pass. That's God's business. So he had to die to his own family. What's God saying? Clear the stage. Are you able to see what's happening here? We're just like Joseph. In fact, we can actually weave our stories together. We can actually weave our story and Joseph's story together. God has placed his dream inside your heart. But before he can fulfill it, he needs you to clear the stage of your life. Now, whether or not you can relate to Joe's dysfunctional family, the truth is this: God wants you to depend on him, not your family, not your friends, not your relationships. Okay, so Susie, slow down for a second. I think what I hear you saying is that God wants to be number one in my life, right? No. I'm not saying that. In fact, God doesn't want to be number one in your life. What? Where did you get this speaker? Are all of them from Oklahoma City this crazy? I'll repeat it again. God does not want to be number one in your life because he knows that whatever is in the number one spot will eventually get shoved to the number two spot or the number three spot. and he won't settle for a number. God doesn't want to be number one in your life. Guys, he wants to be your life. He doesn't want to live comfortably in your heart. He wants to get inside your head and possess your thinking. Not to control you like a puppet, that's not how he works, but he wants to possess your thinking in such a way that the things that break the heart of Jesus would break your heart. The things that make Christ cry would be the same things that would make you cry. And the same sin and injustice in the world that brought Jesus to his feet in righteous anger would be the same junk that would pull you to your feet in righteous anger. He wants to get inside your blood flow, inside your bone marrow, not just sitting comfortably in your heart. He doesn't want to be number one in your life. He wants to be your life. Clear the stage. Clear the stage. Let's get back to Job for a moment. The dream that God had given him is being tested. Let's see if he passes the test. In Egypt, Joseph was sold to Potiphar, who was in charge of Pharaoh's bodyguard. Let's look at the scripture. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man. He lived in the house of his master, Potiphar, the Egyptian. Well, maybe you know what happened next. Joe was a handsome dude. He could have been on the cover of a GQ magazine. Potiphar was away a lot, and his wife didn't receive much attention from her hubby. So she put the moves on Joe. He resisted. She tried to seduce him. He said, absolutely not. She tried again. He refused. She tried one more time. He wouldn't budge. So he ran. And as he's running, she grabs his robe, tears off a piece, and then presents that torn piece of clothing to her husband, Potiphar, and says, he tried to rape me. And just like that, Joseph now is behind bars in an Egyptian prison. No defense, no explanation, no defense lawyers, no trial. Well, where is God's dream now? Some of you have asked that too. God, I thought you placed this dream in my heart. Some of you have had a dream in your heart since you were 6 or 9 or 15. God, where's your dream now? Where's it now? Joseph hadn't done anything wrong. In fact, he had done everything right. And this is how God rewards him. Let's do a quick recap. In the pit, Joseph died to his family. In Potiphar's house, he died to his reputation. His clean reputation with character and integrity was suddenly soiled, and he couldn't even defend himself. He wasn't able to publish a rebuttal on the campus paper. He wasn't able to use social media to explain, this is what really happened. Let me tweet about it because I want everybody to know it. Read my Twitter. No. From Potiphar on down, everyone believed he had tried to seduce and rape Mrs. Potiphar. It was a horrid accusation. And people believed the story, and there was nothing Joe could do about it. Let's look at scripture, Genesis 39:20. Joseph's master took him and threw him into prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. So he was there in the prison. Well, how long was he in prison? Many Bible scholars think it was 2 years. Does it seem to you like God's dream for Joseph is on hold? Actually, God was working. He was just working behind the scenes. And at times when you feel God is being silent, let me remind you, he's working. He just may be working behind the scenes and you can't see him. God is developing Joseph's character, and Joseph had no choice but to solely rely on God. Does obedience to God pay? Not always immediately. Christ obeyed and was crucified. Paul obeyed and was beaten, shipwrecked, and stoned. Joseph obeyed and he was jailed. But eventually, their faithfulness would pay off because God never disappoints those who follow him. So it looks like Joseph's dream is shattered, doesn't it? Shattered dreams are everywhere. Maybe you've had some shattered dreams. Joe, too, had his own dreams. Maybe he dreamed of being a sheep farmer, planting some corn and living close to those he loved and working and tilling the back 40. But God had a different dream. And guess what? God's dreams are always bigger than yours. How do you know that, Susie? Well, the proof is in Ephesians 3:20. What does that say? It says, now glory be to God, who by his mighty power at work within you and 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 you is able to do far more than you would ever dare to ask or even imagine, infinitely beyond, immeasurably beyond your highest dreams, thoughts, hopes, or imagination. God always dreams bigger for you than you dream for yourself. Okay, so what's happening here in the prison? Well, God is testing Joseph. Sure, Joseph had been faithful in the palace, but could he be faithful in a prison? Okay, so 11 years have passed since Joseph was thrown into the pit back in Dothan. He was 17 when he was sold to the Egyptians, and for 2 years, he'd be mistreated in this Egyptian prison for a crime he didn't commit. But he would pass the test that God had given him. Have you been there? Maybe you can relate. Maybe you've often thought, this wasn't supposed to happen to me. My scholarship wasn't supposed to go away. My funding wasn't supposed to end. One of my parents wasn't supposed to leave. I wasn't supposed to be rejected. There wasn't supposed to be that fatal diagnosis with my friend or in my family or with me. I wasn't supposed to be rejected. I wasn't supposed to lose my job. My life wasn't supposed to be like it's going right now. Maybe you feel like, yeah, things are kind of falling apart. Things are shattering. Well, you can prove to be true to God in the worst of environments. Joseph may have asked God, what are you doing here? What are you doing? Everything's falling apart. And God could have easily responded, Joe, I'm helping you clear the stage. Clear the stage. Clear the stage. Stick with me. This will make sense very soon. So Joseph became friends with two fellow prisoners. One was a cupbearer to Pharaoh, and the other was Pharaoh's baker. Joseph's prison buddies, Pharaoh's cupbearer, and the prison baker for Pharaoh. They both had disturbing dreams. Maybe they'd had bad pizza the night before. But with God's guidance, Joseph was able to interpret their dreams. And when these two men were released, the cupbearer said, hey, Joe, I'll return the favor to you, okay? I'll let Pharaoh know you're really innocent. I'll tell him, but that didn't happen. He went back on his word. He didn't do that. So Joseph learned a painful lesson. Those who put faith in other people will often be disappointed. In prison, Joseph had to die to his friends. He's had to die to his family. He's had to die to his reputation. Now we're seeing him having to die to his friends. Clear the stage, Joe. God was saying, I planted a dream in your heart, and I'm weaving your life into my very own life, Joe. But for me to fulfill what I'm doing, I need an empty stage. I need a stage that's not cluttered with things or people. Clear the stage. Clear the stage. Let's press the fast forward button. Pharaoh soon had a disturbing dream. Maybe he ate some sour figs or some moldy ollies before he went to bed. And Joseph is called in to interpret it. And he quickly gives honor to God by saying this, I can't do this. I can't do it. I can't interpret this dream, Pharaoh, but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires. And then Joseph told Pharaoh about the 7 years of plenty that would come to Egypt, followed by 7 years of severe famine. And Pharaoh, what was his response? He made Joseph his right-hand man. And Joseph put into motion a plan that would not only save the Egyptians from starvation, but would actually profit Egypt financially in the future. And through this plan, God orchestrated Joseph's brothers and father to move to Egypt, where, yes, eventually they all did recognize his authority over them. God is the master weaver, and only he can take the broken threads of our lives and weave them together into his beautiful dream. Another quick recap. In the pit, Joseph died to his family. In Potiphar's house, he died to his reputation. In prison, he died to his friends. God has a dream for you. And he greatly desires to weave your life into his dream, his story, his perfect plan. But in order for this to happen, he needs you to make him absolute Lord. Clear the stage. Clear the stage. Well, what does that all mean? Well, it means, first of all, he wants to forgive your sins, but he won't do that unless you ask him. It's a gift. That means you have to receive it. I can hold a gift in front of you all day long, but if you don't accept it, it's not really yours. And so for those of you who have never made a decision for Christ, hey, I came here to play football or basketball or volleyball or run track, or, you know, I came here on a business scholarship. I wasn't really into the Christian thing, but I'm here now. And, well, I've never really asked Jesus to come into my life. You're at the right place at the right time. Because this morning, God would love to forgive your sins, help you clear the stage, wipe your slate clean, and begin his dream in your life. Many of you have done that, though. That's called salvation. Many of you have done that, but Jesus really isn't Lord of your life. Yeah, sure, I asked him to forgive my sins. He did. Well, yeah, sure, we have a relationship, but he's not really calling the shots in your life. If we were to be honest, you're still calling the shots. That sinful nature is still in control. You're kind of pretty much doing whatever you still want to do. Well, this morning, God is saying, clear the stage. I want to be Lord of your life. I want to be in the master bedroom, okay? Let's just go ahead and put you in the guest bedroom. I want to be in the driver's seat of your life. You can take the passenger seat. You can be in the back seat. That's lordship. I want everything in your life. So what is God asking you to die to? You see, the props in our lives can often become idols. Our family can be an idol, especially if you're from a good family, and many of you are from great families, and it's easy to depend on them or put them on a pedestal. Well, if something goes wrong, I can always call mom. Dad will bail me out of this, and it's easy for them to become an idol to you. Some of you are in a dating relationship, and it's real easy for that guy or for that girl to become an idol to you. Or your own dream can become an idol. Again, God wants to put his dream in yours, and he wants you to tear down the idols in your life. So what is God asking you to dive to today? Is there an idol in your life that he's saying, come on, we got to knock that down. We got to smash that idol because I want to be Lord of your life. Clear the stage. Will you clear the stage? Because I have a dream for you. I want to weave you into my story, my purpose, my plan, and it is way bigger than what you can ever imagine on your own. But you got to clear the stage first for me to do that. Why? Because I need a big, empty, wide area to fulfill my dream through your life. So guess what? It is time now for us to clear the stage.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.